go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 78 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. Episode 78, this is being released the night of November 4th Eastern Time. So you'll probably be listening or watching this on November 5th, which is Presidential Election Day. So I hope none of you are voting. I don't really care. If voting is your thing, go ahead, do it. Get that sticker that says, I voted today, which is really a sticker to tell everybody else who didn't vote that you're a better civilian than all of them. We know the deal with the sticker. I really don't like wearing stickers on my shirts because sometimes the sticker sticks a little too much, and that adhesive is tough to get off the shirt, especially if it's like a dry fit. I use the word like. That's something I'm trying not to do this episode. I've noticed I'm using those ticks, using those too much. Those verbal graffiti, so I have to cut those out. But yeah, whoever you want to win, I hope they win. I don't really care. If you're still rooting for politicians to get you ahead in life, you're going to be waiting a long time. But again, this is not a political show. I'm recording this in advance, so I'm not going to talk about the World Series because I'm not really sure where we're at with that. I hope the Yankees win. I was much more confident last week. Editing videos to put them up online, and I did notice while editing, I was also scouting myself, that I tap my left leg a lot. It's almost like I have restless leg syndrome. I noticed, that bothers me. As somebody, myself, the B-Man, I have OCD. This is not part of that, the leg tap thing, but I noticed I was doing it. And I just know from having OCD that maybe some of you watching are very annoyed by that. Probably most of you didn't even know it. And why the fuck would I just let you all now know it? It's like telling me, hey, breathe. Think about breathing. And then you start thinking about breathing. And you're, whoa. You start realizing how difficult that may be. All right, get the episode ahead, Brian. But I did, so I'm going to try to stop tapping my left leg this episode as I've done it so much so the last 2 30 seconds. It did remind me though of I work from home now, thankful to be able to do that, but there were plenty of years where I worked, learned how to speak in an office setting. And there is nothing that has ruined office environments more than the open seating. Like no longer at my last office, there was no cubicles, not even the half cubicle where you could hide underneath if you slouch. It was open seating, so I'd have a laptop, and there would be a person right across from me, and anytime I looked up, there'd be this awkward eye contact, and you couldn't apologize because you see the person every day. So how many times can you really apologize? It's like, hey, I'm not staring at your tits. It's merely, hey, anytime I look up, there is no cubicle, you're right there. You're in my line of view. It's not that I'm trying to look at you, you ugly beast. It was actually a nice elderly lady who got laid off, and I hope she's doing well. I mean, you know how it is with ex-coworkers. They say, hey, here's my number, my contact. Let's stay in touch. You do for about a year or so, an occasional, hey, how's everything going? And then it fades away, and life moves on. I hope she's still alive. Who knows? But when you're in an office setting, I used to be anti-death penalty till I worked in an office. When you're stuck next to a person for 9 hours a day, you find things about that coworker that make me rationally angry. I had this guy, a coworker of mine. He sat diagonally from me, again, open seating, so I could see him. He wore He was older than me, but he was a goth guy. He was still dressed in all black, and he was really into music, and he always had a lot of bracelets on. So when we were tapping to do work, when he was typing, I could hear the bracelet would just kind of tap on the table, on the desk. And it would drive me insane. And I would do everything I could not to be in office with him. So whenever he took his lunch hour, I would wait till he was done, till I took my lunch. So that way there was almost a 90-minute period where I wouldn't have to hear him tapping the desk. And I actually liked the guy conversing with him, but how can you wear that much jewelry in an office? And it was cheap plastic. Oh, it drove me insane. I get it. Somebody who kills their spouse, like, no, you got to do the time. You got to do the time. You got to do 25 to life or whatever it is in the state you reside. But if you're, I believe the person who does the killing, when they're on trial, if they can justify the killing, I'm not saying they should get off free, but they should get, their sentencing should be, they should get some time taken off the top. So if you, hey, why did you kill that guy? Well, your honor, he wore this jewelry and we worked 9 hours Monday through Friday together. And I just tapped on the desk. He was like, oh, I would hope the judge would take that into consideration. Because, okay, I'm not going to give you life. How about 3 years in a halfway house and 2 years probation? Everyone go with that? Okay, judge, I'll take it. I'll try to be better next time. But I work from home, so we don't have to worry about that anymore until I get fired or laid off because AI takes my job and I have to go back to the office. But hopefully this Project Verbal Graffiti works, so I will never have to do that again. But you never know. I've been doing stand-up almost 10 plus years now, and I'm yet to make a living doing that. So I'm still positive. I have something else I want to talk about, but let's get into this Reddit segment right now, and then we'll get to that. All right. This one comes from the subreddit Purple Pill Debate. The problem with the paternity test debate. I have seen recently some posts about the need to do a paternity test when the woman is pregnant to avoid educating an offspring who is not yours. I find this to be superficial discussion that doesn't really touch the heart of the problem. Indeed, asking for a paternity test just means the woman doesn't deserve to be trusted to begin with, leading to me to question the quality of the choice and ask myself, why should one entertain this kind of relation to begin with? That makes me think there should be sound reasons for someone to make that kind of public claim. Perhaps does it come from a previous hurting experience, or was it related to a demographic of his author? Disclaimer, I don't go to bar, party, or any place that where the behavior of the demographic can be slightly more libertine attitude. I believe this poster English might not be the first language, but that's okay. We kind of get the point. B-Man, I'll be honest. I don't have children. I did not realize there was a debate around paternity. So when I read this, it kind of piqued my interest. And I've never thought about it before now. But the more thinking I do about it, this paternity test, that term is a dog whistle. It's code. I mean, let's just call it what it is. It's more paternity test is code language for, hey, darling, I think you're a cheating whore and I don't trust you, so let's get the paternity test. That, when a guy is asking his alleged baby mama, that's what he's saying. And from the woman's perspective who's pregnant, she's thinking the exact same thing. He's like, oh, you want me to take a paternity test? What, do you think I'm some kind of cheating whore? You can't trust me? So I understand both sides of the, from the guys and the pregnant lady's perspective. I get it. But again, I have been preaching on Verbal Graffiti that we should radicalize ourselves. So pre-radicalized B-Man would say, let's take both sides and see if we could kind of in the middle. No. I'm going to radicalize everybody in this. And my stance is, with no research at all, let's put that out here. I have done no research at all when it comes to paternity. I did read one article. I won't lie. I just said, I think I Googled, like, how many guys are not the father. And I did find an article, which I'll put up here, that it says 30% of babies are not the father's baby, like, biologically or genetically. But I think that's of all the guys who've gotten paternity tests. So I also did read another article that said 10% in America, 10% of guys who are fathers are not actually the father of the baby, paternally, that is. So I, knowing that, and knowing the type of culture, the society in which we live, where body count is a term that gets debated very often on the internet. Should you ask somebody their body count? Yes, no. Maybe we'll get to that in another segment this episode. That's called a tease in the podcast business. But yeah, I mean, most people today are not just fucking their high school sweetheart and then getting married and having one partner. The body counts are very, very high today. Not mine, not a lot of people I know, but there are people out there who have a very high body count, maybe even higher than their credit score. So, and you don't know everybody's past, especially if you meet them when you're, you know, past high school age. So the B-Man, my stance after all this preamble is that everybody should have to get a paternity test 100% across the board to avoid that awkward, hey, are you a cheating whore? And I don't believe that baby is mine conversation. It helps out both parties. The girl that's knocked up and the guy who's looking up abortion clinics. We're not going to get into abortion here again. This is a comedy podcast. It's an interesting, I'll say this about paternity. If you're in a interracial relationship, I think probably you should get a paternity test. And I say this because, my brother, his first wife was Asian, and they have two kids together, and the kids look nothing like him. Are they paternally his? The fuck do I know? But I do know that if you're of the same race, two white people, two black, two Asian people there, whatever. You know what race is. I know what it is, too. I don't need to explain it. Generally, you could tell pretty early on in the child's life if that child is, if it came from the guy's semen. Because it's just you. Who is it? So my oldest sister has three kids, and they all look like the dad. Like, there's no question at all. There's a photo of me. My dad and my dad's dad and my brother, and we have photos of us all, like, when we were teenagers. And even though the ones of my brothers and I are black and are color, and of my dad and his dad are, you know, black and white from, you know, back in the day, we all kind of look the same. It's pretty evident when you look at the photos, the smile, the teeth, the eyes, the hair, like, we all, it's pretty evident. Like, you don't need to take a 23andMe to know that we share a lot of the same genes. And again, no scientist, I'm just guessing that's because we all, up till now, we're white, and I assume it's the same with other races as well. But there's so much interracial fucking these days that When you get those interracials, usually one of the races is the dominant genes, and the children don't look like the parents. So definitely, if you're an interracial couple, get the paternity test. Is that racist? If you have to ask if that's racist, usually that means it is racist. But I don't think this is racist, because before that, I said everybody should have to get a paternity test. So if everybody has to do it, then it ceases to be racist. Brian Glass, being a radical, bringing everybody together. This is such a, asking a lady who tells you she's pregnant to get a paternity test. It's an impossible ask without pissing her off. I mean, there are plenty of couples. There's probably, what's the percentage of couples that break up due to one of the partners looking at the other person's phone without permission? That destroys relationships, looking at your partner's phone. Think about that and then compare it to, oh, can you take a paternity test for me? That is looking at the other person's phone on steroids. You're better off if you're really, concerned that the baby might not be yours. Let's say your lady who's now pregnant, who's knocked up, she hits the sauce a little too much. Maybe she goes out with the gals, the coworkers. Maybe she has a simp of a boss, and maybe she's a flirt. Maybe there are a couple nights where she came home later than she usually does. Whatever. You have some suspicions. And if you have some suspicions, the paternity test, it can save you a lifetime of aggravation, because that baby actually is not yours and you don't get it tested, you're fucked. You're fucked. You're raising somebody else's child. That's cuck. That's cuck to the cuck. So I don't want you to be in a situation. So what? So if you're a fella out there, you're going fast and loose, and you know, you're just putting hot ones in your lady. You can't be putting hot ones in your lady and then come at her with, hey, take this paternity test. Because she's going to be furious with you. Rightfully so. Oh, you want me to take a paternity test now after you've been putting hot ones deep inside of me the past year? Fuck off with that demand. So what you got to do, what I think you should do, what should you do? You can't outwardly ask your lady. You just can't do that. That will end a relationship on the spot. And chances are the child is yours because you are putting hot ones in her. So you can't be, as soon as she pees on the pregnancy test, you can't be asking her, hey, can you pee on this too, the paternity test? Can't do that. I don't know how paternity tests work. I think it's a swab. You need to be deceitful. All right, if you think your lady's being deceitful to you and taking hot ones from other chads, what you got to do is be deceitful to her. Two deceitfuls equal a safer relationship. So what you don't ask her. What you do is you go behind her back. When you're at the hospital, when you're at the doctor, and the doctor is testing the baby, like before it's born, to see if it has any deformities and any mental disabilities. I'm not sure the proper term to use, the PC term, but when they're doing those tests, when you're alone with the doctor, maybe call them up alone, but hey, can you, while you're doing that test, can you also test the paternity without telling my wife? Again, I don't know the legality of that. If that's not legal, here's another thing you do. As soon as the baby comes out, okay, I don't think you need a blood test. I'm pretty sure paternity test with 23andMe, you need a swab. By the way, don't do 23andMe. All that information goes to the CIA, and they'll use that against you in the next decade. So if you're yet to do so, continue not to do so. Do not give in to the 23andMe. Do some actual research yourself. Don't have a corporation tell you where you came from. All right, sidetrack, back. All right, when the baby pops out and you're holding it and hugging it and crying and everything, go with a little swap thing. And when the wife, when the mommy baby mama that may not be your baby mama, just take a little swipe of the saliva inside the baby's mouth, put it in your pocket, and then send it away when you get home, and you'll find your answer without having to confront your baby mama or alleged baby mama, you know, face to face with that awkward conversation. So there is sometimes. You know, I've spoken many times about being passive aggressive here at Verbal Graffiti, and how that has spiraled many of my burgeoning relationships and poker games. But in this situation, be passive aggressive and that's all paternity test is. Hey, are you a cheating whore? That's what the guy's really saying, and that's what the pregnant lady, that's what she's really thinking. So I don't know. Hope it works out. Hope the baby's not. I'm tapping my leg. Hope the baby's not yours. Good luck. Let's go look at some photos. Yo, we so back here at Verbal Graffiti. It is election day, election week. Let's talk a little bit about politics. And I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, who not to vote for. I want to talk about Congress. They've been overshadowed the past few months because of the said presidential election. I want to focus on Nancy Pelosi. And I want to do so because her titties are my two favorite things about Congress. You look at Nancy Pelosi's tits, and you have to think that some U.S. tax dollars have gone towards them. And if they have, I'm all for it. If Congress members want to use U.S. tax dollars to get breast implants, take my money. Take all of my money. I don't care if you're left, right, blue, red, Republican, Democrat. We're all Americans. We're all for big tits. So, but I do love her tits. They're very perky, especially for her age. They'd be perky for a barely legal teen. There is a photo out there of Nancy Pelosi at JFK's inauguration. And she's not a baby. She's a teen, early 20s. She's cognizant of her life. She probably actually remembers being at JFK's inaugurations. That's how old Nancy Pelosi is. Those tits, though, they're definitely 21st century tits. So they're not nearly as old as her skin is. It's funny. Congress has been overshadowed, but also because of her bodacious tits, Nancy Pelosi, that is, Nancy's vagina gets overshadowed. And I spend a lot of time thinking about Nancy Pelosi's vagina, as odd as that may sound. But this is a guy who wants to do a double-sided comedy album on the pubic hair of all the first ladies we've had in this country. I spend a lot, what does Nancy Pelosi, what does her vagina look like? And this, an exercise like this can tell you how imaginative your mind is. Because I've spent a lot of time, and picture this. Let's paint the scene, all right? So Nancy Pelosi's in front of us. She's here at Verbal Graffiti. I un-Velcro her diaper. I pull down her Depends. And I imagine it have a lot of pubic hair. I can't see Nancy waxing. I mean, if you're at JFK's inauguration, you're not the type of gal, you're not the type of congresswoman who's going to go full wax. What I see is full bush, like the liberal woman she is, but she's kinky. Nancy Pelosi, she's a kinky woman. She's a nasty woman. So her pubic hair is not going to be all over the place. I imagine her pubic hair having a Donald Trump-like comb over. She kind of gets off. I think she talks shit about Donald Trump, but she likes the way that hair looks. So I think she's got her pubes are a Donald Trump comb over, and then you go down and the lips of her vagina. I can't tell you what they look like because I've never seen them, but I know what they feel like. They feel like like the inside, like the interior of a 1980s Dodge Ram van, that fox leather that's 40 years old and very stiff and crusty, and you got to be delicate with it because if you pull it too quickly, it will crack and she'll kill you, because she's Nancy Pelosi and she knows people who knows people. So, but you open up that fake leather interior of her pussy lips, and you open them up, and you look, you peek, you peek inside. You peek inside the big hole where her vagina is. And it's wide because she's been all around D.C. for about 50 years now. And you see, you see the light. When you look inside Nancy Pelosi's vagina, you see the light. I'm not talking about the light when you go to heaven. I'm talking about the light when you go to hell. You see the light. You see the one eye from the Illuminati staring back at you. That is where the Illuminati lives, is in Nancy Pelosi's vagina. And when you open up those pussy lips, that eye stares at you and it hits you and you see the faces of all the dead babies that Nancy Pelosi and her minions have killed, and they've taken their baby blood to inject into their body to make them live forever. And you hear the voices of all the lizard people telling you, chanting, close those lips, you don't deserve to be here. You're a commoner, go back home. And then you never forget it. That's what I imagine Nancy Pelosi's vagina looks like. That and a lot of stock tips are probably inside there. All right, that's enough politic talk for this year at Verbal Graffiti. Let's keep it going. This comes from the subreddit Retroactive Jealousy. This one's a little longer, so I'm going to cut it short. I'll explain what happened at the end just to save time and hopefully make it less boring for all of you. But yes, the subreddit Retroactive Jealousy, issues with GF's girlfriend's past. In need of advice. Hi, guys. Hi. I've been debating making a post for a little bit, but I am unsure of what to do. I guess my issue started when she said she's used condoms with other people before me, and then she said she lets them take it off because she wants to be done, and then she said she lets them finish inside her to make them happy. She says it was a very sad time for her, and she was depressed, so it felt nice to be wanted for a night. She was on birth control then, and she's not now. My thought is, I don't see why I can't come in her one time with a plan B if everyone else got to. In my head, it makes me think she likes them more. I try to initiate sex a lot and get told no a lot. I don't understand how, as her boyfriend, I get told no, and one time people never got told no for anything, ? My other thing is, one of her old roommates has been talking to boys, and then the boys she's talking to has a friend for my GF girlfriend. There was a 2x2 different people that my GF girlfriend got with the friend. My problem is, she didn't know them before, but after talking and drinking for 4-5 hours, she thought they were good enough to let them fuck her. First time was a guy came down with his friend to party. Second one, she said they were drinking at their house, and it was funny story because the guys were like, okay, we're going to bed. Come sleep with whoever you want. They were a little drunk, so she and her friend went, and she said she was so uncomfortable. Please don't make me talk about it. And it goes on a little bit longer. And just for reference, he is 23. The GF girlfriend is 21. I think the big takeaway from this post is, it's better to date a depressed, lonely woman that will let you blast goo inside of her rather than a happy, secure woman that makes you wear a condom. So my advice to you is to dump this babe and go find a depressed lady who has a lot of cut marks on her arm and in her thigh. I'm joking. I don't even watch pornography. If I see the lady has cuts on her inner thigh, I'm like, ooh, that girl is a little damaged. I do not want to be taking advantage of her. Because we have moral compasses here at Verbal Graffiti. Whoa, that was a sidetrack. Back to your situation here. Now, the PC thing to do, a politically correct thing to do, is to say, Well, no one's past matters. Well, here at Verbal Graffiti, we think that's bullshit. People's past do matter. And a murderer can't go, hey, I murdered my wife, but that was in the past, so I shouldn't have to be in prison anymore. Nope. We don't play that game here at Verbal Graffiti. If you murdered somebody, you got to do the time. And if you fucked a lot of people without condoms in your past, it's okay for us to judge you for doing so. Now, we here at Verbal Graffiti, we are pro-whore, pro-slut. We say those terms lovingly, and we thank you for giving out to strangers that you've met for 4 or 5 hours, being the girlfriend. But in your situation, your jealousy is justified. Your actions to get over the jealousy are not. Let's delve into this from over. Don't convince your lady, your girlfriend, to have unprotected sex and give her a Plan B pill. I'm not an expert, but I'm pretty sure. Although the Plan B pill may prevent a pregnancy, it does harm the woman physically. I'm not sure how, but it's not good for your health to be popping Plan B pills. So you want your if you really do love this lady, or if you just love humans in general, you don't want their health to be ruined or to be compromised. So that's a no-no. We can't fuck with you for that one. So no. Don't ask your lady to take the pop one off in her and then pop a pill in her mouth. Don't do that. But I get where you're coming from. What your thought process is kind of correct, but you need an elderly statesman to guide you, to hold your hand and walk you through this situation. I get what you're saying. Like, listen, she's my girlfriend. We've been together. Guy, she barely knows. She lets everyone come inside of her but me. Like, I'm her boyfriend. I'm the one she has intimate conversations with. We spend days together. We're close. We hold hands. But she won't let me get my dick wet inside of her? What the fuck is that? That makes no sense. It doesn't make no sense, but it does. But it does. See, what you have to realize is the way you're trying to, you're trying to undo this jealousy by getting even, but you can't get even. Like, you've already lost. You got to understand, you're treating this as though it's a World Series baseball game. That's what you're saying. Well, you're saying, well, all the other Chads who she doesn't even know the last name of, that she let you fuck her after a few hours of drinking and partying together. Well, they're up 3-0. However many men there were, let's just say there were 3 who were allowed to do this, and you haven't. So they're up 3-0. And your thought, thinking like, well, hey, if my girlfriend lets me come a couple of times inside of her without a condom on, it's an even game, and hey, maybe we go to extra innings and I win. But that's not how this works. Because even if your lady, your girlfriend, your GF, even if she does, if you could convince her either to get on birth control or however way, you convince her, hey, you convince her to let you put your goo inside of her vagina, consensually, of course. If she lets you, if you do get to a point where she allows you to do so, you still lose the game. You've already lost. That's what you don't understand. And the reason why is because, like, these guys, these Chads who have already come inside of your girlfriend previously, they did so quick. It took them less time to do that than it does to actually play a Major League Baseball game. They did it in one evening. So if you do it, it's already taking you much, much longer than that. I don't know how long you two have been together. Let's just say a year. So they did it in 3 hours. It took you a year to do it. So that you've already lost. So as soon as you come inside of her, you've already lost. You're a loser. You're a loser now. If you come inside of her, you'll still be a loser. See, the way... there's really no way to win this game. Like I've said time and time again, you already lost. So you need to cut your losses now and walk away from this relationship. It's a lot easier said than done. You know, it's easy for me, the B-man, to say that because my emotions are involved. I'm not in love. I'm not doodling your girlfriend's name in my notebook. Maybe you're doing that. So it's not as easy for you to do so. But you got to understand who you are in this relationship. You are the safety blanket. She's clearly demonstrated that she lets guys raw dog her and just put their spunk inside of her. And she lets them pull the condom off, but she won't let you do so. And you make all these advances. You're like, please, please, let's have sex. And she keeps pointing up the stop sign. No, no, no. So those two things, like, hey, the guys, the Chads who busted inside of her, and then all your advances that are getting shot down, that tells me that you are the safety blanket. She's just using you until she finds another Chad, probably while she's drinking tequila, to let fuck her raw dog. And that's going to happen. You're going to get rolled over, and it's probably going to ruin your state of mind for the next decade. So the sooner you get out of this relationship, the better. And she's probably cheating on you right now. So my advice to you is to break up with her. And it really has nothing to do with her promiscuous past, which we're very thankful up here at Verbal Graffiti. You should break up with her because she's not sexually attracted to you. And when you're 21 and 23 years old, if there's no sexual attraction at that age, it's never going to be there. So you got to break up with her and go find a lady who's on birth control and will let you put your gusher inside of her. And that's just, for me, I cannot date a lady long time, go steady with a lady long time who is not on birth control. Because I drink too much, my pullout game is non-existent, and I don't have the funds to go to the cheapest all-inclusive resort. So if she ain't on birth control, it just can't go down. So and plus, like, who wants to fuck somebody they know? That's so disgusting. Once you're in love, like, let's not have sex anymore. Sex is for people you don't know the last name of. Like, once I know your sister's name, I want no part of you sexually. All right, with all that, hope it works out for you, young buck. We're going to continue reading The Salesman's Wife by the great author, John Lawrence. We are on page... what page are we on? We're top of page 23, I believe, if you're reading along. Pamela had closed her eyes after the tumultuous orgasm and relished the warm, soft pleasure that pervaded her. Yet after only a moment, the pleasure faded. In its place was the icy shock of realization. Her husband had taken her in the anus. It was unthinkable. And in that moment, all her old guilt and shame flooded her mind with terrifying force. She bit her lips, trying to force back her feelings, but it was too late. She turned and saw that Alan knew at once that while she had enjoyed it momentarily, she was now the same as before. "Alan," she said softly, "I'm sorry." But her husband simply got up from the bed and put on his clothes. He was tired of talking, tired of explanations, tired of everything. "I gotta go to work or I'll be late," he said curtly. "See you Friday." Minutes later, she heard his car pull out of the driveway and roar off into the night. Alone in her bedroom, she began to cry as a terrible loneliness and anxiety flooded her being. Much later, she fell into a tense, restless sleep. The next morning, Pamela woke feeling cold and empty. Her mind could barely comprehend the full horror of what had taken place the night before, and her body still ached painfully from her husband's cruel anal rape. She hated him for it, yet she had to admit that for a brief moment she had experienced something that was tremendously thrilling, an extraordinary sense of release. But it had soon faded as if it had never happened. She yearned to know that feeling again, but she knew that her fear and shame would prevent it. She was confused and troubled, desperately in need of help, but she didn't know who to turn to. Suddenly, she thought of a girlfriend, Nadine, and she called her, hoping for some advice. "It was awful, Nadine," she said, as she sat at her kitchen table talking into the telephone. "I don't know what to do. I love Alan. I want our marriage to work, but I can't. But I get so frightened. Nadine, can you come over and talk? Or stay with me for a while, please?" "Gee, Pamela," Nadine replied. "I'd love to, but I can't today. I promised Ed I'd meet him for lunch, and he'll be real upset if I don't come." Pamela began to sob softly. "What am I going to do?" "Look, Pamela, maybe you can get some kind of help. Professional help." "What do you mean?"
"Go suck a fat one."